A video version of this podcast is available at AboundingJoy.com and also on our YouTube pages. Hey kids, I got a question for you. Have you had the experience yet in your life of being bullied because of your faith in Christ? If it hasn't happened yet, I don't want you to be surprised or caught off guard when it does happen. I want you to understand that it's happening to Christians right now. And I want to help you be prepared for it. I want to help you to stand firm on God's truth when this kind of stuff happens. Because God warns us in His Word that as His kids, we can expect some bullying from people who don't really love Him. Jesus said, for example, if the world hates you, know that it's hated me before it hated you. So that's encouraging. They hated Him first, and He's our Lord. John wrote this, do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. Jesus said again, what blessings await you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil? Because you follow the Son of Man, of course, Jesus was talking about Himself. We follow Him. This is what's going to happen sometimes, He said. He also said this, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you're My followers. Are you ready for that, guys? Today, I just want to take a few minutes to encourage you to just be ready to stand firm for Jesus and stand firm on God's word, because we're in very confusing days right now. We're living in them ourselves. I want you to be prepared. Let me start first of all by saying this though. I'm praying that you yourselves will realize very clearly who Jesus is. And I'm talking about the real Jesus, the true Jesus, the Jesus who's revealed to us in the Bible. I'm talking about the Jesus who died on the cross for our sins and was buried and was raised from the dead on the third day. I'm talking about the Jesus who ascended into heaven, literally. I'm talking about the Jesus who will one day return to earth to reign as high king. The Jesus whose teaching we find in the scriptures, the real Jesus. Because you see, part of the confusion of our day has to do with people who say that they love Jesus and they'll say positive things about Jesus. But the Jesus they're talking about is a Jesus of their imagination. We've talked about this before. That's why it's so important, guys, that we know our Bibles. That's where we learn about the true Jesus. One of the reasons I keep posting all these videos, all these Bible studies, these audios, is my hope and my prayer that you won't be confused about the true Jesus. I want you to get it right. But assuming that you do know the true Jesus, and assuming that the desire of your heart really is to simply trust Jesus and follow Jesus, and love Jesus, and live for Jesus, and serve Jesus. I hope that's the desire of your heart. I'm praying that's the desire of your heart. That's the desire of my heart. And listen, guys, listen, before I go on, however long or short your life happens to be, you know, none of us know how long we're going to live. But even if you live to be 110, in light of eternity, it will be very short. It's very, very foolish for us to make our lives all about the pleasures of this world, or all about the fun we can have in this world, or all about the things we can buy in this world, or the places we can go in this world, or the people we can influence in this world, or have as friends in this world. If we're headed for destruction, oh, that's pretty foolish. And the Bible clearly teaches that if we're not really trusting the true Jesus, we are headed for horrible destruction. If we don't make our lives all about Jesus, the Bible teaches we've all blown it. We've all sinned. And the day will come when we'll realize with horrific regret that we've rejected the only one who can save us from this destruction. That's Jesus. The Bible's very clear about these things. So I'm praying that you know him. Now, I know there's a possibility that some of you might be thinking, Grandpa, I just am not really sure I can believe all that stuff that's in the Bible. Listen, kids, if you're having those kind of struggles and those kind of doubts, you need to check all this out really carefully. You need wisdom right now. And listen, there was a time in my life, it's been many, many years ago now, when I was much younger, but I wondered the same kind of thing. Can I really trust this book? Can I really trust the Bible? And what it did for me, because God helped me to be honest, it put me on an honest search. I didn't just try to explain it away, and I didn't just try to make myself believe it. I thought, I got to figure this out. And eventually, of course, I don't need to go into all this right now, but I was thoroughly convinced that the Bible really is God's word to us. And I do share some of the reasons for my coming to that conclusion in the Veritas series. And you may want to check that out if you haven't already. That's not the main purpose of this video. I'm kind of chasing a rabbit here. But that's the foundation of what I'm about to say. Okay, so stay with me. In the Bible, God's word, God tells us very clearly what is true and what is false. He tells us what is right and what is wrong. And today we find ourselves living at a time when a large number of people in our culture have decided that they have a better way of living than God's way. They're rejecting a whole lot of what God teaches us. Things about sex, things about men and women, things about marriage, things about unborn children, things about freedom, things about our identity in general. What they're doing is they're rejecting God's authority to tell them the truth, and they're replacing it with their own ideas and their own feelings. And lately, it's gotten a lot worse. And now we're living in a time when these people who reject God's truth are figuring out that they can kind of bully and intimidate Christians who disagree with them. So if you express a biblical understanding of men and women, male and female, marriage and sex, a biblical understanding of freedom, a biblical understanding of unborn babies, you may find yourself being called a bigot or a hypocrite or maybe a homophobe or maybe anti-woman, or maybe you'll be called a racist or intolerant, some other ugly names. I've been called some of those things myself. Others may tell you, listen, if you want to have those weird beliefs, those biblical beliefs about sex and about the definition of male and female and about marriage and all that other stuff, go ahead. But would you please just keep it to yourself? I've been told that too. So here's the challenge we face, guys. Now listen very carefully. Here's the challenge. How do we, as biblical Christians, find the balance? We're looking for a balance here. How do we find the balance between, on the one hand, standing firm and being courageous and speaking up, speaking the truth in love, and yet on the other hand, not being foolish or foolhardy and not being unnecessarily offensive or unloving or unkind? We've got to find God's balance. Of course, I'm assuming that you yourself haven't been deceived by the world's thinking. I'm assuming that you know that the Bible is God's word, and that in his word, God clearly teaches it. God created us male and female. We don't have the right to say to God, I don't like how you made me. I don't like being a man. I want to be a woman. I don't get to make that decision. God did that. Or vice versa, of course. And I'm assuming that you realize that in his word, God clearly teaches that sex is a beautiful gift from God and is to be enjoyed but only in the covenant of marriage between a husband and a wife. And I'm assuming you know that unborn babies are people who are created in the image of God. We have no right to kill them. I'm assuming you know these things and many other things like this. But sadly, there are many, many sweet, wonderful people in our world who are very confused about these things. And listen, guys, if you are to any degree confused about what the Bible says about these things, there's nothing I'd like more than to talk with you about it. I've also put some posts up, maybe for you to read or listen to, that might help you with some of these things. Listen, kids, I love you, and I want what's God's best for you. But there's a verse in Proverbs that says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. God says it twice for emphasis. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Please be careful. It's easy to be deceived. It's easy to believe a lie. I don't want you to go that way. Come talk to me. Call me. Zoom me. Whatever. There's another kind of bullying going on in the world right now that you need to watch out for, popping up right now in different places. There's an ugly non-Christian Marxist movement going on around the world right now. And they've taken three very beautiful words. The words are Black Lives Matter. They're beautiful words. I agree with those words. I hope you do too. It's a beautiful sentence. Black Lives Matter. Of course, Black Lives Matter. All Black Lives Matter, including unborn Black lives. But these guys have incorporated them into a very non-Christian Marxist movement. And if you don't agree with their worldview, they're probably going to call you a racist, because they're using those three words. And if you don't agree with us, you must be a racist. They even try to say that the entire United States is basically a racist country. I hope you realize, guys, that's totally absurd. You do realize, don't you, that in recent years, hundreds of thousands of Black people from African countries have migrated to the United States so that they can live here? Why do you think they want to come to the United States? Because we're a racist country? I don't think so. No. And let me ask you this. This will help you decide whether you're a racist or not, because people want to confuse that issue and make people wonder, well, maybe I'm a racist and don't realize. Listen, here's an easy way for you to figure it out. If you had an opportunity to eat a meal with someone, or maybe hang out with someone for the day, or maybe for the week, or maybe a year, or maybe your whole life, hang out with this other person, and you had a choice between two people. One of the persons you could hang out with would be one of your very near blood relatives. But this particular person doesn't share your view of the world, or your view of Jesus, or your view of God, or your view of the Bible. Or you could choose someone else, not related to you, someone of a totally different race. But they do share your view of the world and of Jesus and of God and of the Bible. Which would you choose? If you choose someone of another race, like I would, you think it makes you a racist? Listen, don't be bothered or intimidated by some bully who wants to redefine racism and call you a racist because you don't agree with their worldview, with their Marxist worldview especially. That's nonsense, guys. Don't be sucked into that stuff. Bullies will often try to use shame and ridicule to shut people up because often they don't have very good arguments. They can't make a very good case if they just sit down one-on-one and talk very graciously and kindly with you. So they try to shame you and ridicule you and laugh at you. But here's the problem. Every single day, we Christians have to decide what to say and what not to say. And guys, we're in danger of falling into ditches. On the one hand, we may be intimidated by the bullies. We may be afraid to say anything. That's one ditch. But there's another ditch, and that's saying so much, so loudly, so angrily, so rudely, that we become obnoxious and lose our effectiveness as Christians. And when in the middle of all this decision-making, bullies are yelling at us, it can be really hard to shut out that noise and learn to just listen to the direction and leading of God's Holy Spirit. But that's what we have to do. As all of you know, I used to be a public high school teacher. Of course, I was a Christian. And constantly, I had to make a choice. There were some secular forces out there that wanted me to keep totally silent about my Christian faith. I got emails from some sometimes at the beginning of the year. There were even other teachers who claimed to be Christians themselves who told me that I needed to keep my Christian faith at home or maybe keep it at church, but I shouldn't bring it to school. I've been told that. There were other teachers who also claimed to be Christian, by the way, who reported me to the director of schools for being too Christian in the classroom. There were times when men from the central office would sit down and talk with me about the fact that I was so upfront with my Christian faith. They were warning me about the danger of crossing a line. Now, there were plenty of other teachers who called themselves Christian, believe they were Christians, but they rarely ever talked about Jesus or the Bible or God with the students because they'd been intimidated. On the other hand, it would be easy to imagine being so outspoken as a Christian that a teacher could easily get himself or herself fired pretty quickly. That'd be easy to do. So the point I'm making here is while I was a teacher, I was constantly praying for courage, but also for wisdom. I was constantly praying that I wouldn't be fearful of speaking the truth, that I wouldn't just try to hide and be quiet so nobody would know that I was a Christian, or if they did, they wouldn't hear me saying anything about it, but also that I wouldn't be foolhardy and obnoxious and cause unnecessary problems. It's like walking a fine line in a way, but that's where God wants us. He wants us right there in the between those ditches, listening to Him. Do you see what I'm getting at? God has a balance for all of us. We must be courageous. We must not be cowardly, especially these days. We've got to stand firm. We need to speak up for the truth. But we must also be wise and loving and kind and gentle and gracious. You get it? Got to find God's balance. Now, frankly, to be honest with you, right now, I think the main danger for Christians is that we'll be intimidated. We'll be so afraid of causing offense, and maybe so afraid that somebody will think that we're being intolerant, that we'll stand back and watch other people go down a road that leads to destruction, according to the Bible. Because we know if we speak up, someone is liable to call us names or try to shut us up. So it's so tempting just to not say anything, just to keep it kind of quiet. Try to stay under the radar. But then we remember Jesus said, hey, if they hated me, they'll hate you too. So we shouldn't be surprised. We need to be prepared. We need to just stay gracious and stay kind and stay loving and keep speaking the truth in love. Listen, guys, there have always been bullies. They've always been around. Right after Jesus had died on the cross for our sins and risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, some of his followers were talking to others about trusting Jesus. And there were bullies then too. And some of the bullies tried to shut them up. But Jesus' followers simply said, listen, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard. We're not just going to shut up. We're not going to do it. And guys, we need to follow their example. Don't let the bullies intimidate you, please. Don't let the bullies change your mind about God's truth. Don't let the bullies shut you up. Just ask Jesus all through the process to help you be as much like Him as possible. And that means courageous and bold, but it also means wise and loving. It means being willing to speak up, but it means speaking the truth in love. Being kind, being gentle. And that means we have to be in constant communication with Him. He loves that. This is not a one prayer thing. You pray a prayer and then it's done. No, no, no. This is a daily walk thing. Decisions that are being made moment by moment, day by day, situation by situation. But it starts right now, guys, okay? So let's pray. Father, praying for my grandkids and anybody else that happens to be watching this video. Lord, you know and we know that we're living in a very, very difficult time. And you know and we know that there are bullies out there who are very quick to call us names. They'll call us bigots. They'll call us racists. They'll call us homophobes. They'll call us intolerant. On down the line, hypocrites, all kinds of names, anything they can think of. And Lord, you know we don't like that. Lord, you know us. We don't want to be called names. We don't want to be thought of badly. We don't want to be laughed at and ridiculed. Lord, we don't like it. But then, Lord, we look at your word and we look at our Lord Jesus and we realize what they said and did about him and to him. And his followers that we read about in the New Testament, we read what happened to them too, Lord. And we know we're not exempt. Lord, like Jesus said, if they hated him, they'll hate us too. So would you please give us courage and boldness to stand firm and to speak up when we have an opportunity to speak up, to speak your truth, to know your truth, to stand firm in your word and on your truth and in Jesus. But Lord, would you please help us to love people? We know that's one reason we have to speak up is because we love people. And Lord, help us to love people with your love and help us to learn to be gracious and kind and gentle, just like Jesus. We want to be more like Jesus, Lord. And we want to be counted. We want to stand. We want to be like salt right now. We want to be like light shining. So Lord, please help my grandkids, help all of us to stand firm, to keep our focus on you and to be useful during these very, very difficult, confusing times. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.